Go with me, please, if you would, to Luke 11 and Matthew 6. Luke 11, Matthew 6. It's been over a month or so ago now. We started on a series that we're calling Teach Us to Pray. And we are learning how to pray. And just like we were talking, you could learn all kind of amazing things about prayer, and it would do you absolutely no good at all unless you actually pray. Right? So we're not just talking to be learning. We're learning to be doing. In Luke 11 and verse 1, Luke 11:1, it came to pass that as he, Jesus, was praying in a certain place. One of our first messages on this, we spent time looking at how much Jesus prayed. He prayed a lot. Sometimes pray all night long. Why was he doing all this praying? What was he doing while he's praying this much? Was it necessary? Well, I don't think you would accuse Jesus of doing something unnecessary, right? And is it not true what he said, that the servant is not above his master? If he needed to pray, what do you think? If he prayed a lot, go ahead and say it out loud. If Jesus prayed, I need to pray. If he prayed a lot, I need to pray a lot. Now you realize most church-going people don't. Barely pray, barely. You hear how quiet it is? Barely. And there's reasons for this. And the enemy has lied and deceived people about a lot of these things. And I believe that's one of the reasons we're talking about it. Because faith comes by hearing. And our faith for praying is coming up. Yes. Hallelujah. Because you can pray in vain. There is a lot of prayer that's absolutely wasted motion. The people would have been better off not praying at all than doing what they were doing, calling prayer, calling it prayer. So the way you know it's right is you base it on the Word. You do it by the direction of the Spirit. And if it's right, you get results. You'll get results. And so he said in Luke 11:1, as Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, so the disciples didn't bother him till he got through. And that's what you want to do. Don't bother people when they're praying. And don't let people interrupt you all the time when you're praying. When he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. John taught his disciples to pray. When you're born again, do you just automatically know how to pray? No, you don't. The Bible talks about that we need to get our mind renewed so that we can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Just because you got saved, because you got born again, that doesn't mean you automatically know how to do things. You got to learn. You got to grow. And so they're saying, teach us to pray. So we got some folks here that weren't with us a few weeks ago when we said it. So let's all say it again. Lord, teach us to pray. What real prayer is. What's right. What's not right. What you can hear. And what you won't hear. What you can answer. And what you can't answer. Teach us to pray. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, do you think he heard that prayer? Amen. Well, so be on the watch. You may be in the middle of praying something next week and him just show you, quit praying that. Don't pray that. Well, pray what? Pray this. Don't do it that way. Do it this way. Because His word is the foundation of it all. And that's what he said in John 15:7, I believe it is. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done to you. That's if his words, if you're full of his words about these things, then you're going to know how to pray and for what and which way. Now go with me to Matthew, the sixth chapter. Matthew, the sixth chapter. This is Matthew's account of the same happening. Matthew 6, and we won't take the time to read it again, but he began, if you read from verse 1, he began talking to them about how not to pray. Don't pray these ways, he said. And one of them was, don't pray in front of people so they can see and hear you pray. Don't pray to be seen of men. Now, when the Lord says don't do something, what should you do? Don't do it, right? I know that sounds simple, but whew. People are ignoring it and violating it by the millions. And he went on to say, and don't pray like the heathen do. Don't pray vain repetitions. They think, Jesus said, they'll be heard because of their much speaking, the volume of their praying. God doesn't answer prayers by the pound. I don't think I've ever said that before. What do you mean? Volume. But people have the same idea that if you could get enough people, man, if we could get all these people in here praying, well, not if all of them's praying wrong. Might as well all, you know, thousands of people could be praying wrong. Yeah, if they're just following the leader and the leader's praying wrong. Come on, can you see this? Yeah. You know, it's not a matter of can we get 10,000 people praying. Well, yeah, but what are they praying? Based on what? No, it's not volume. And with us individually, we must beware of just quoting the same phrases and saying them over and over and over again and calling it prayer. The Lord told us, don't do that. Don't do it. So anyway, we're going to not do it. You agree?
Yes, sir.
And then in verse 9, he's teaching them and teaching us how to pray. And he gave us what we call the Lord's Prayer. But it's actually him teaching us how to pray. And this is not something, he just got through saying, don't do vain repetitions. So this is not something that you're supposed to just repeat mindlessly for 50 times, 100 times, or whatever. Then you're not listening to what he said before. You can pray this prayer in less than a minute. So Jesus obviously did something beyond this, because sometimes he'd pray all night. Huh? And he's not going to do what he told us not to do. He's not praying 50,000 Our Fathers. Right? No, he's not. So what is this? This is a general guide of areas to pray and focus. And you'll find I can see a division of him and us. I can see five things about him and five things about us. Notice, after this manner, he didn't say quote this, after this what? Manner. This is the general manner and directions you'll pray. How do you start off with? Not, I gotta have. Huh? Our Father, that's one hymn. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. How many believe his name is a thing in prayer? The Father, the name. Verse 10. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now see, we haven't even got to us yet. Oh, friends, this is worth you combing your hair and coming out. Just this right here. Do you know how to be absolutely miserable in life? Think about yourself all day long. What you want, what you need, what you don't know, what you don't have, what you can't do, how your deepest feelings. I'm telling you how to be miserable. Miserable. And that's why there's so many miserable people around. It's all they do from the time they wake to the time they go to bed is think about how I feel, what I want, what I need, you'll be miserable. So you don't want to pray that way either. In prayer, you come to the great Father, creator of heavens and earth. Hallelujah. Who, because of what Jesus has done and I've received him, is now my Father. Oh, somebody say hallelujah. My Father, who's in heaven. Now, you'll notice he mentions this more than once, and this is a part of prayer. There's a lot said about heaven and earth. Heaven and earth. And we're not getting to that today, but this is one of the reasons why we need to pray, is because of the interaction of heaven and earth. But our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What do I think about instead of myself? His will. Huh? What do I think about instead of building my success and my brand and my this? Building his kingdom. His kingdom. Now this is one of the big differences between us and the world. The world is out for theirself. Out for the glory of man. Out for their own notoriety. Their own, to be noticed, to be seen, to be revered, whatever. Not us. I said, not us. We seek the glory of our God. We don't seek to build our kingdom. We're seeking to build his kingdom. All the kingdoms on this world will soon be gone. All of them. But his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Hallelujah. That shall never end. And if you're a part of that kingdom, then you got a part of something that is eternal and glorious and will never end. What's my glory? To be standing somewhere in the shadow of his glory. Hallelujah. That's my glory. That's my success. To be a part somewhere in his glory. His kingdom. Woo. And can you see that in this prayer? That's right here. How do you pray? Will you come to the one above it all? Our Father. Who is in heaven. You reverence him. You show him the respect that the giver of your life should be given. Right? Hallowed, holy, to be revered is your name. Hallelujah. And then what's first order of business? Come on, help me out. First. And more important than anything you got going on today or the rest of your life. I said more important than anything that you or I have going on today, all week, or the rest of your life is what? Your kingdom. His kingdom. God is building his church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. God is building and advancing His kingdom. And I'm a part. And you're a part. And job one, every day of my life, every day I draw a breath down here, job one is kingdom business. Huh? You know what? When Jesus was 12 and he went to the temple and his folks lost track of him, and he was asking questions and answering questions. And when they found him, they said, "What did you do?" He said, "Didn't you know? Didn't you know? I got to be about my Father's business." What's his business? He's building his kingdom. And so this is number one. And you'll find when you truly place that number one, all these other little things in your life, they fall into place.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly.
When you put your things first, you can never get it right. It's always a struggle because the priorities are wrong. Didn't Jesus say, this is this sixth chapter of Matthew, and as he ended it up down in verse 33,
yep.
What did he say? You know, he said all those things, eating and what you're going to wear and live and all this. All the Gentiles are looking for that, seeking for that. But you seek first the kingdom of God. First. First. Huh? Not your kids. If your kids are first, kingdom's not first. If your family's first, kingdom's not first. If your job, your occupation, any of these things? Only one first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. So, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our Father, your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. Come, you see what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You. Somebody said you said five. Yeah, the fifth one is later on. Because now we get to us. Give us. Huh? Give us this day. But this is not number one. This is not number two. This is not number three. This is not number four. Huh? Give us this day our daily bread. Well, we need some things to get through the day. Keep going. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Notice what a big part forgiveness plays. Oh, it's huge. And he goes on to say, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. And if you're not forgiven, condemnation is going to rule you. And with condemnation, you got no confidence in your praying. It just undermines the whole thing. We forgive our debtors. What else? Lead us. You see what I'm talking about him and us. Us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then what? We end up with, for thine. See what I'm saying? Five and five. Thine is the kingdom. He's back to that. The kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo. I'd have preached that to myself. Is it good or is it good? Oh, this is good. This is good. Are we learning how to pray? We are. Don't you have to watch about something being a religious ritual that you just mindlessly parrot? Oh, that's why the Lord told us don't do that. He don't want to hear you parrot a bunch of vain repetitions, and you're saying it for the 50th time and your mind's on fried chickens or something, you know. That doesn't mean anything to him. I know years ago I was preparing a course on praise to teach in the Bible school, and I began to see that praise is something that the Lord will receive from us, and something that he would actually enjoy. Now, that's a high thought, that you can give something to the giver that he would receive and enjoy. But he said this to me in the middle. I don't mean I heard a voice, but inside me as I was preparing one day, he said, "Now, Keith, if you're not enjoying it," to my praising, "if you're not enjoying it, don't assume I'm getting a lot out of it." Well, that makes perfect sense. I mean, what if I'm saying, you know, "Oh, Kim, I praise you. You're great. You're great. You're great, great, great. You're wonderful, super duper great." She'd be thinking, "Quit, just quit. Your mind's not even here. Why are you doing it?" Oh, Kim is great, by the way. Yes, she is. Yes, she is. Go with me, please, to Mark 13. And let's get into a little bit further. We asked the question in past sessions, what is prayer? And we gave a couple of statements about that. We said prayer is communion with the Creator. Prayer is fellowship with the Father. We'll be talking more about that later. But we've also begun to talk about why we should pray. Because this will address some big issues. There's a lot of people that don't pray. They're not thinking right. Some don't pray because they believe the erroneous doctrine that God is controlling everything anyway. So if everything is already predetermined and God's going to do what he's decided no matter what I do or don't do, why pray? He's going to do what he's going to do whether I pray or not. This is not true. I said, this is not true. And so we've begun to give reasons why we should pray. Our first reason was Jesus prayed. He prayed. And we've already talked about that. If he prayed, he's our ultimate example. And he prayed a lot. So should we follow his example? Secondly, he told us to pray. He told the disciples, he told us to pray. We're about to see that again. And in the epistles, we're told by the Spirit of God to pray all the time, to pray without ceasing. Now, that doesn't mean you pray every breath. I mean, you're asleep part of the time, you're eating part of the time, you're getting ready, whatever. But it means there's never a day you don't pray. You don't go for periods of time where you don't pray. Praying is a way of living for you. Yes. You don't just pray on Sunday or Easter and Christmas or whatever. You pray every day. Every day. You pray.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, sir.
You commune with the Creator. Mm. You fellowship with the Father. He told us to. He told us to pray. And by the Spirit and the Scripture, we're told to pray without ceasing. And then we got into this. I believe this was this last week maybe. Why do we pray? Because things can be changed. Things can be changed. We actually saw in the Scripture where God told the king what was going to happen. He said, "You are going to die. Set your house in order." But Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed and poured his heart out to God and obviously made some changes. And before the prophet could even leave the place, he said, "No, turn around. Go back, tell him, I've heard your prayer. I've heard your prayer. I've seen your tears. I'm going to add to your life. 15 years. Woo! Oh, somebody say glory to God. Yeah, but didn't the Lord tell him he's going to die? He did. Well, was he going to die? Yeah. Did he change God? No. He changed him. And because he made an adjustment, he later in the passage, he got this revelation. He said, the Lord was ready to save me. He was ready to save him when he told him he was going to die. God doesn't change. But if we'll change, some things can be changed. And prayer is a part of that. Why should we pray? No matter how bad it looks, no matter how impossible it seems or how far gone, do not accept that it can't be changed. Hmm? With God, nothing is impossible, and all things are possible to him or her that believes. And the God we serve is the creator of the heavens and the earth. There is nothing too difficult for him. Nothing. Now, it's not just, you know, doing something by rote. There are times, especially when you're praying for other people, there's a lot you don't know. And there's a lot you're not in control of. And it's a relationship and it's a fellowship. And there are times you'll be talking to the Lord and he'll say, no, don't ask me about that anymore. Leave it alone. Leave that between me and them. And if he does, then that's what you do. But I've also had him speak to my heart and say, this would have gone this way, but I'm going to do this for them because you asked me to. Oh, hallelujah. So it would have gone bad and wrong, but just because you asked. Why do we need to pray? Because things can be changed. I said, things can be changed. Well, somebody said out loud, things can be changed. Things can be changed. So Mark 13 and 33. Jesus said this, Mark 13 and 33. He said, take heed, watch, and pray. Now notice these next few words. Why? Why should you do this? Jesus tells us why. Why should you do this? For you know not. You know not. In this case, you know not when the time is. I think what we've given you four reasons already why you should pray. Here's number five. Why you should pray. Because of all you don't know.
Amen. Hmm? Yes.
Because there is so much we don't know. We, not just it would be good to, we need to pray and find out some things. Elsewise, we won't know. And in this evil, dark world, ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance can get you destroyed. What you don't know can allow the enemy to steal from you, hurt you, deceive you, destroy you. Somebody said out loud, if you think this is right, say, I need to pray because of all I don't know. See, that's what he said here. He said, watch, take heed, watch and pray. Now, the word watch is the word that means to be on your guard, to be alert and on your guard. It's the same word, put up 1 Peter 5:8. It's the exact same word that's used here in 1 Peter 5:8 where it says, be sober, be vigilant. Yes. That King James word vigilant, that's exactly the same word watch that Jesus used. So be sober, watch. Do I need to watch?
Yes.
For what? What am I watching for? Because you got somebody that hates you.
That's right.
That is out to kill you.
Yes.
I know that's not a nice thought. But sticking your head in the sand and just playing religious games is not going to cut it. Every day of your life and my life, the enemy has plans and things to hurt you, to trick you, deceive you, steal, kill, and destroy.
Yes.
Do I know all about this because I'm such a genius? Just because I exist and because I woke up? Who does know all about it? Who? The devil has never pulled anything over on God. Never gotten ahead of God. Ever, never will. Who knows what the enemy's up to and what's going on? Do I need to know all about it? No, I don't need to know all about it. I just need to know what I need to know today. Right? To make it through this day. How am I going to find that out? There's only one way you and I will find out some of these things. That's if I pray about my things. You can't do all of that for me. I can't do all of that for you. Your spouse can't do it all for you. The Lord won't tell another person everything about you. Aren't you glad? There's some things. It should be between you and him.
Yeah.
Right? Now I'm going to jump ahead a little bit because this is such a big part of not only why to pray, but how to pray. Actually, where are you? Mark 13. I'm moving too quick. Stay in Mark 13. Jesus said, take heed and watch. Now that's that same word in 1 Peter. Be alert. Be on the watch. Be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, is going about as a roaring lion seeking whom he
may.
Now we've talked about this before. Obviously there are some he may devour. And there are others he may not. But what determines who those people are? Back up to the first part. Who is the enemy not going to be able to devour? The people that are on the watch. The people that are sober and watching and looking and praying and binding and loosing. Come on, are y'all with me? Now the people that never pray, that never look, that never check, they're going to find out about what the enemy's doing when it happens to them. That's when they're going to find out about it. And that is happening to millions. And then it's a can we recover from it? Late. Late. You can live like that if you want to. Millions do. There's a better way. I said there's a better way when you pray.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
When you pray, because prayers get previews. Yeah, they do. Prayers get insight. They get enlightenment. They get things revealed. They get glimpses. Prayers get previews. Prayers get prepared.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And to the devil's great frustration, you spend a goodly amount of time in prayer before you ever start the day, before you ever start the week, before you ever start a project, before you ever start a thing. You already are aware of what the enemy's trying to do against you. You already took care of business. You already know where to go, who, how, when. You're on the track. Hallelujah. And it just frustrates the enemy to no end because you won't walk into their trap. You won't cooperate with their plan to destroy you. And these things that you found out, you could never find out searching your own understanding. Just trying to figure it out on your own. You could never overcome it just trying to work hard and be sincere. How many would agree and would acknowledge, I need to hear from Him. I need to get things from Him every day of my life. How's that going to happen? When and where? Can you begin to see why Jesus Himself prayed like He did? So Mark 13, 33, take heed, watch and pray. Why? Because you don't know. You know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to do what?
Watch.
Again, this is that same word in 1 Peter 5 translated vigilant. It means be on your guard. Be looking. Not in a panicky, fearful way. Just knowing. The enemy's trying to pull something today. Y'all didn't like that? It's not a nice thought, but it's reality. The enemy's trying to pull something today. I'm not scared. I'm not panicking. I've got authority over him. But I do have enough understanding to know that by myself, I'm not enough. I don't know enough. I got to ask the Lord. I got to check in with Him. And He'll show me how to stay ahead of the enemy. Right? And how not to fall into his traps and these kind of things. Verse 35. What does he keep saying? Verse 35. Watch you therefore. Why should you watch? Because of what you don't know. You don't know. In this case, you don't know when the master of the house is coming. At even or midnight or cock crowing or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all. Well, that's all us-ins. Right? What?
Watch.
Watch. This is a substantial part of what we're to be doing when we pray. What are we praying? We already talked about, we start with Him. Right? His reverence. His kingdom. And did you hear this? His will. How much do we know about His will? That's why we need to pray. To find out His will. Somebody says, well, His word is His will. Yes, and where is your name? Or Branson or Arkansas or Chicago. Huh? There's a lot of details you need to get from the Spirit. In prayer. Seeking Him. Looking for it. We saw in Matthew 6. He told us how to pray. It kept going into Matthew 7. Put up Matthew 7, 7 if you will. Because this is a big part of how to pray. Matthew 7, 7. What do you do? Ask and it'll be given you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. In this life, there's a lot of things you need. How will I get them? Ask, it'll be given you. In this life, there's a lot of things you need to find. Without His help, you won't find it. But if you seek, with His help, you'll find it. And knocking is about access. There are doors of utterance. Doors of access. Doors of access into families, into communities, into government, into come on, are y'all with me? How we're supposed to be a witness. You cannot get into these places by yourself. No matter how hard you work or how hard you scream or how much of a nuisance you make yourself. But God can open doors that nobody else can open and that nobody can close. Hallelujah. But it's not just all up to him. He told us to what? Knock. Knock. Ask. Seek. Knock about that access, about that entrance. Well, what if you don't ask? It won't be given. You have not because you ask not, James says. What if you don't seek? You won't find it. You won't find it. What if you don't knock? You won't get access. You won't be able to get in there. You won't be able to be a part. And you can blame it on everything. Your mother, your education, whatever you want to. But God's bigger than all that. I said, God's bigger than all that. Did you hear Kim told about that woman, what, in Kenya? Got that job? She got in. Can you see that? She's praying. She's using her faith. God got her in. I don't know how many others were trying to get in there, but she got in. I said, she got in. She got in. Already sowed a seed into the kingdom that was as much as 9 months of her previous pay. Did she come up or she come up? She got in. And what you learn how to do that, you can get in somewhere else. You can come up some more. But can you see this is tied with a personal communion with the Father. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Asking, seeking, knocking, communing with Him. Yes. Can you see it? Can you see it? Go to John, the 16th chapter. John 16. John 16. I'm excited about this. We're going to pray. Huh? We're going to pray more than 2 minutes a month. Am I right? Huh? We got you. You know, if you don't pray, you know what you're acting like? You're acting like you don't need His help. You're acting like, I got this. Why? I had my Wheaties this morning. And my orange juice. And I'm edumacated. And, you know, and I've been doing this for now on 20 years. And I can do that. No, not successfully you can't. You can make a bunch of mistakes. Huh? You can wind up. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself again. But do you need His help? Do you need His help? Well, then you need to pray. Why did Jesus pray? Why did He pray so much? Because He's operating as a man. Right. Hmm? Yep. So this is how men, human beings, need to do. If you're going to be successful like Jesus was successful, what are we endeavoring to find out every day? What's His will?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
What's His will? What's His plan? What do I need to be on the watch for? Yes. What do I need to be ready for? So, John 16, Jesus said this about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our life. He said, John 16, 13, howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, what will He do? He will guide you into all truth. When you know the truth, you can identify the lies and not be deceived. And the truth makes you free. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. Remember I talked about prayers? Get previews? Now He's not going to show you the whole thing, because then you wouldn't be walking by faith anymore. But He'll give you glimpses. Glimpses of the future. I'm not just talking about falling out into a vision, but all at once you'll be aware this is how that's going. This is where this is going to wind up. You would have never known that with your own understanding. You would have never been able to figure it out. The Lord just showed you in a moment of time. But when and where and how is the Holy Spirit going to do all this? Now sure, He can give you something on the fly while you're moving. He has and He will. But do you need times where you get quiet and you turn everything off and you give Him your full attention and you're fully focusing so the Holy Spirit can do this, not just a tiny piece here and there, but can give you the full measure of what He's wanting to give you in guiding you into the truth and showing you things to come? Can you see a big part of this happening when you pray? When you wait on God, when you fellowship with Him. He'll glorify me, for He'll receive of mine, and He will show it unto you. He will show it unto you. Verse 15, all things that the Father has are mine, Jesus said. Therefore, in other words, that's why I said, He will take of mine, which is all things the Father has, and He will show it to you. Now, I want you to notice he repeated that three times. Verse 13, He said, He will show you things to come. Verse 14, He'll take of mine and show it to you. Verse 15, He'll take of mine and show it to you. He wants to show you something. Hallelujah. Somebody say, the Holy Spirit wants to show me something. He wants to show me all kind of things. Hallelujah. He wants to show me all the truth.
Yes.
Hallelujah. He wants to show me everything that the Lord has for me. He wants to show me things to come. He wants to show me. He wants to show me. Are you too busy for Him to show you some things? Millions are. Millions are just absolutely, they give Him no time. But we're making adjustments. Can you say amen?
Yes.
Somebody say,
I have time
for the Lord to show me things. Ooh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Are we making progress?
Yes.
Go to Romans 8. Romans 8. I'm thinking about closing. Romans 8. Why did Jesus say, watch and pray? Watch and pray. The very next phrase, because you know not. You don't know. Why do I need to pray so much? One of the reasons is because of all the things I don't know. There's so much going on in this world that we don't have a clue. There's so much that needs to happen. Why did He pray? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So much. I mean, we know so little compared to what's going on. And you get to thinking, you got a pretty good handle on it. You've been deceived. This is a big world. There's a lot going on. And activity in the Spirit. What do you know about that? The future? What do you know about the future? You may guess and think and be totally surprised. But the one who lives inside you is not guessing. The one who lives inside you is not wondering. The one who lives inside you is not trying to figure it out. He knows. And He shows. Oh, that was worth coming to church and running around about. He knows. And He shows. He shows me things. I said, He shows me things. He showed Phyllis and I we were to have a church here in Branson. When there was no church. There was no money. There was no building. We looked at that first property on the other side of town. It had, what, 2,500 seat auditorium. And the people that were selling, they said, well, how large is your congregation now? And Phyllis said, well, nobody right now. And they were like, But we have somebody's now.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. But I'm just saying, before there is something come to pass, there's got to be a vision. You got, without a vision, the people perish. You got to see something. Well, where did we see it? Well, some of the latter parts of it, we were over in a little, condo thing. We were staying for a few days, and I was praying, and we tried to, I tried to figure out how we could buy that place or how we could do any of that. And I spent a night or two with the calculator, and I finally just put it in the drawer and shoved it to, because I could not figure out how to make it happen. But I was praying, and the Lord showed us, do this, then do this. Hallelujah. And one step led to another, led to another, led to another. If you quit praying, then you're not seeing, getting things. He's not showing you things. Somebody say, he shows me things. He shows me the truth. He shows me the things of Jesus. He shows me things to come. Can he show you better if you'll give him a decent focus of your attention for a few minutes? Right? Instead of being continually distracted with texting and emails, endlessly searching the internet and all such things. You won't find the plan of God on Google. You will not. You will not. You will not. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit helps our what? Now that word is the word for weakness, we'd probably say today. Our weaknesses. And you have to look at the context to see what kind of weakness he's talking about. The same word is used concerning sicknesses, because sickness makes the body weak. But it can be a physical weakness. It could be a spiritual weakness. It could be a mental, emotional weakness. Weaknesses. The Holy Spirit is our helper. And he helps us in the areas where we're weak. And what's the big area we need help in? Huh? Because we don't know. That's one of our biggest weaknesses, is all the stuff we don't know. You could fill the ocean with books about what you don't know. Huh? And what I don't know. We know. Well, you know, the Lord had given Paul such revelation. Through him penned so much of the New Testament. And what does he say? We know part. He's talking about himself. We just know a part. And we're just seeing through a glass darkly. What does it mean? If you only know in part, what does that mean? There are parts you don't know. And one of the biggest issues is not knowing what you don't know. I'm serious. That's one of the biggest things that can get you in trouble, is not knowing what you don't know and thinking you know so much and only finding out after a big catastrophe and tragedy what you didn't know. You stand in the middle of a terrible mess and going, I didn't know, I didn't know, I know. But could you have known?
Yeah, that's right.
Could you have found out something? Is it possible that you could have? Here's the thing. Why do we need to pray? Because of all the things we don't know that he does. We know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, this is not something he does apart from us. Amen. He's helping us. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Not just doing it for us. He's helping us. And he that searches the hearts, he knows. He knows what's the mind of the Spirit. Because he's making intercession for the saints, giving us utterance, moving in us, through us. And this is where praying in the Spirit comes in too. Praying in, why do we need to pray in the Spirit? because of all the stuff that's not up here. Because he makes intercession for the saints according to what? We've come all the way back to the Lord's Prayer. Is that right? The will of God. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Do you know he has a plan for your life individually? Where you're supposed to be? Where you're supposed to live? Where you're supposed to go to church? Where you're supposed to work? What you're supposed to do? Now you can do anything you decide to and it will not be a success. You'll have all kind of problems you shouldn't have had, but there is a plan of God. And if you'll pray and ask, he'll give it to you. If you seek for it, he'll help you find it. If you knock, he'll give you access and help you get in. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody say glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now listen to this. I'm closing. The Lord gave me this, I believe. You check your heart and see what you think. You hear people say, do I really have to pray all the time? Do I really have to pray all the time? And the answer is no. Obviously, you don't have to pray all the time. You can be like millions of people and never pray at all. If you're okay not knowing what's going on around you, don't pray. If you're okay never knowing what to do, don't pray. If you can live without finding out God's will for your life, don't pray. If you're willing to risk not knowing what the enemy has planned for you today, don't pray. If you're fine being ignorant of the devil's devices, don't pray. If you're okay wasting your efforts and resources and accomplishing nothing, don't pray. If you're fine with guessing about things only to find out later the Lord was in none of it, don't pray. If you're okay being the last to find out, if you're okay being the last to know, don't pray. If you're good with tolerating the same problems year after year and never knowing why, don't pray. If you like going to other people and asking them and getting wrong answers and being misled, don't pray. If you're fine without the manifestations of the Holy Spirit in your life, don't pray. If you don't mind being clueless to just about everything, don't pray. What about you? What do you think you're going to do?
I'm praying.
I heard somebody said, I'm praying. I'm praying. Put up Proverbs 3:5. Proverbs 3:5. This is the truth we'd be acting on. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. People who are not praying, that's what they are doing completely. Yeah. Right? Just making their plans, leaning, relying completely on what's between their ears. And honey child, it ain't enough. Huh? Do you believe me or not? What's up here with you and me? Ain't enough. It ain't enough. Verse 6. In all your ways, acknowledge him. How will you do that? How? When? Where? I found with me, so many times, it's praying. While I'm praying about something, the Lord brings it to my mind, and, you know, maybe I'm about to make a trip or something, and I didn't pray over the trip yet. He reminds me, and so I acknowledge that I need His protection. I need His help. Come on, can you see this? Or something else is coming up. I don't just assume I know what the next project's going to be. I don't just assume I know what to preach or what to say. We don't just assume we know what to tell people in the church that's having problems. We need to find out from Him. So we're going to acknowledge Him. And we're going to say, Lord, You know all about this. We're asking You. Show us. Huh? Show us. Show us. In all your ways. How many of your ways? How many of your ways?
All.
How many?
All.
I mean, can you see how this would work out to praying without ceasing?
Yes, sir.
Right? Because this is all everything you're doing all the time. And you don't have to stop and kneel and fold your hands. You can be right in the middle of something and just go, Lord, I need Your help on this.
Yes.
I'm asking.
Yes.
I'm seeking.
Yes.
I'm knocking.
Yeah.
Right? In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And what did He say He would do? He shall direct your paths. Hallelujah. And when He's with you and He's for you and where you're where you're supposed to be, doing what you're supposed to be doing, all the enemies in hell can't stop you. And all the crazy people on earth can't stop you. Hallelujah. You will be victorious. You will succeed, and His will be done. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Stand on your feet, everybody. Whoo! Glory to God. Thank You, Lord, for helping us. Thank You, Lord, for meeting us. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Lift your hands. Lift your voices. Hallelujah.
This ministry has been brought to you today free of charge by the partners of More Life Ministries and Faith Life Church. If you would like to help send this word to others at no charge, you can become a word sender today. For more information, visit our website at morelife.org.